You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I have somewhat breaking news. Nelson Mandela has died in South Africa. I think this will be a news story for the next couple of days. There's obviously going to be a state funeral in South Africa. I also want to point out, though, that up until 2008, Mr. Mandela, as well as his political party, were considered a terrorist organization. His party was, in essence, a communist party, a socialist party. And whatever your thoughts about the previous regime in South Africa, besides the point, that needs to be brought up. There was a reason why he was in prison, whether you agree with it or not. So I know what's going to happen. We're going to have praise after praise after praise in the news of Nelson Mandela forgetting his history, forgetting his party affiliation, forget the fact that he was trained and exited the country, was trained in Morocco in military tactics, and he was imprisoned. So I'm not exactly a fan of either Nelson Mandela or his party at all. And I think what's happened to South Africa economically attests to that. So why I, let's say, respect the man for his humility and being a spokesman for his people. At the same time, you got to remember his roots, his background, what that party was for. They were terrorists. It was not lightly that designation of the United States government is given. And that will probably be the one, if not the only time, you'll hear it in the upcoming weeks. They will not revisit that history at all. So that's why I'm giving you my gut reaction, because I just learned of it. I was on my way, looked up, and flashing across the screen was this announcement. There is also other news today, breaking news, important news, and that concerns the GDP numbers for the third quarter that were published this morning. These are the second estimate, the revised numbers. It looks like good news, and on the surface, I think it is good news, that for the third quarter, the numbers were revised up from, I believe it was 2.6 to 3.6, which is a big jump. I caution you, though, that usually the second estimate, and this is the second, is definitely better than the advanced number. But if you actually dig into some of the details, 1.7% of that 3.6 is due to inventories. So what's happening is businesses are accumulating or stocking the shelves, if you will, as well as their warehouses and your retail outlets for the November as well as the December time frame. And this is anecdotal, it's not scientific. I noticed, I occasionally go to Walmart. I really don't go there every day or week or even every month. But for many months, I was looking for, I needed four additional plates. I had bought a set of plates, bowls for my apartment. But I wanted to get an additional four because occasionally you're going to break one or two. So I wanted to get four plates. And I bought all these plates at Walmart. And they had a supply of them initially. But I kept going back, and back. And they didn't have the color I bought it in. I bought a blue plate. They had white. They had black. I think they had green. But they didn't have the blue. And I thought, well, just a matter of time before they restock the inventory. Well, they never did. And I don't think it was a question of, and that wasn't the only item. There were several other items like that. I noticed it didn't seem that they were restocking their inventory after it sold. And I subsequently saw news stories to that effect, that they were not restocking. Now, I'm sure they generally, I'm not saying that goods weren't coming in the Walmart stores. They definitely were. But it was noticeable. And usually it's not noticeable at all. Now, you might say that's just one particular item. I understand all that. What we see here is kind of it's like half a cup is it half empty, half full? It's obvious that businesses have to build up inventories and will build up inventories if they think they're going to have significant sales in the future months. But the proof's in the pudding. So until we get really the second estimate of the fourth quarter, which we won't get until February, we really don't know. And what I really think is going to happen is two things. The number's going to be revised. Again, I don't know which way, but it invariably is, and I think it'll probably be revised downward this time. But a lot of that gain that you got in the third quarter is going to be, you're going to get less inventory buildup in the fourth quarter. You're always going to get some, what we're talking here is net, and that's important. So, you know, even if they keep level, they accumulate the invest in inventory the same amount, well, then you're going to see a decline of at least 1% or more. And about half, this is the other thing, not just slightly under a half of that entire number is inventory. And here's why I have mixed emotions about this. You want to see investment, including inventory, including buildings, plant and equipment, vehicles, all increase, because a sign of a very healthy recovery is that. And that has been lacking. So this is good news that inventory, you have what's termed inventory accumulation and a growth in the inventory spending. But I think a lot of that will be taken back come the fourth quarter. And remember, last year, the fourth quarter was near zero. It wasn't a very good year. And now sales were okay on Black Friday and what they call Cyber Monday, internet selling this week. But the key, and that a lot of sales happened during the Thanksgiving weekend, but the proof in the pudding is the run-up towards Christmas. And here's why I'm not optimistic. I truly believe the economy is going into recession. And the reason why I say that, I've given a lot of thought as to the impact of Obamacare. Now, a lot of people, I would say most people, especially commentators, have focused in on just the impact of Obamacare in terms of the individual. And the key thing is these so-called new plans, these metal plans, these bronze, silver, gold, platinum plans, are a lot more expensive than what people had before, because they include a lot more mandated, or the government designed these plans and it required the insurance companies, and you need to understand this, required the insurance companies to add a lot of benefits that many individual plans don't have. And even for group plans, which are impacted starting next year, while you don't have as much of a gap between them and the Obamacare plans, you're still going to have a gap. So for that reason alone, you're seeing a significant increase in the premiums. And that has an impact. But here's the problem. If people have to pay more money for health insurance, whether it's your employer or whether it's an individual, that means they have less money to spend on other things. So that's one impact of Obamacare. Because what's going to happen is the people that truly need the health insurance, and those are people that have serious conditions, or let's say they have a number of children and maybe one of them has asthma or whatever, are going to feel compelled, even though it's very, very expensive, to buy one of these Obamacare plans. And that means they will substantially cut back on their consumption spending. So other, and that might be going out to eat. It might be buying a television set that they had their hopes on. That's what's going on, or will be going on. And that will impact the economy. That will impact other businesses. Because people were really satisfied with their existing plans, now have to buy something more expensive. The way to think of it is, let's say you're driving a car that gets you to work, you're entirely satisfied with it, and the government said, no, you got to get a better car. And you say, I can't afford it. I'm paying so much a month, and now you want me to pay 50% more for a car that I can't afford. Well, that's what's going on here. You see, the key thing is this. People in the middle class that are working, they're on fixed budgets. There's only so much money that they have to spend every day, every week, every month. And certain things get priority, namely your rent or your mortgage payment, obviously, tends to go to the top of the stack in terms of bills. So does your electricity bill, your water bill, garbage, all go to the top. You got to pay them. If you're using credit card, and many Americans still are, you got to at least make the minimum payment. You need money for food. You need money for, let's say, auto insurance, your property and casualty insurance for your house or your renter's insurance. And that's the process individuals as well as families do every month. And now on top of this, they have a significant increase, and we're talking hundreds of dollars here. You know, most cases is $100, $200, $300 a month. You multiply by that by 12. That's the impact. And what's going to happen is it's not going to happen all at once. Remember, Obamacare really does not go into effect in the sense of people actually having one of these Obamacares until 1 January. That's the earliest. That's the first time a person will have one of these metallic Obamacare plans, health insurance coverage. But every month after that, and we're talking about between 12 and 13 million people every month that work where their health insurance is provided by their business, by their employer, whether it's a business or a charity, a school, city, whatever, they also are going to see increases in what they have to pay. What I think many employers will do is say, okay, I'll continue the insurance, but you're going to have to kick in so much money. And what that means is the individual and family, again, has less money. So what I'm trying to focus in on and what I'm saying is I think the cause of the next recession very definitely, or one of the major contributors to the recession, will be Obamacare. I have no doubt of it. And it's not all at once. We've seen sort of the first wave, and the only reason we see it is because if you're an individual, you have to go out and buy your own, and that's roughly, you get different estimates, between 20 and 25 million people are covered by individual plans. So they're the ones that are first affected because they have to do something by 1 January. Now, in terms of the employer-provided insurance, every month people are going to get their renewal letters, and you're getting them now. For people that have a 1 January anniversary for their group health, they're getting the letters right now, and businesses are shopping. And many of them probably, they're shopping. That's where they're at, and they'll have to make a decision by the end of the year. What are they going to do? Now, some of them will stop all insurance and make you, again, the individual, go on the exchanges. I don't think that's going to be a large percent. I've said in the past show somewhere between 10 and 20% is my guess. I don't know. Who knows? So, and then, just like I said a minute ago, what does that mean? That means you have less money to spend on other things. This would be something that you weren't expecting, and now, you know, you might have had a vacation plan. You might have had money set aside for books if you're going to college or college education or tuition. Suddenly, you're hit with an extra $200, $300, $400 a month going to insurance that, again, you weren't expecting. Because most employers pay 100% for their employees. Usually, if there's any cost sharing, it's if you have your spouse is covered as well. I just was informed that the campus is closing at 4:30. We're a little past 4:30. So if you're listening to this broadcast, please leave, because the campus is closing. We're waiting for a decision, and now we have one. For those that are not in Dallas, we're expecting the sleet to start at the rain to start at 6 o'clock, and then the forecast I were following sometime between 6 and midnight, there was a possibility of sleet. So apparently the powers that be at Richland College, the executives, the educrats at Richland College, have determined that the campus will shut down as of 4:30. So if you're listening to this broadcast and driving in while we're at a computer at home, don't come to campus. Now, I suspect the campus will probably be closed tomorrow. I will know what the best thing to do is to listen to the news, because you'll get announcements of closings. So it's really dependent on the weather. And the campus may or may not be open Saturday and Sunday. That's kind of iffy right now. It depends on the weather, because obviously if there's ice on the roads, you can bet the college campus will be closed. If it's not, if the roads are dry, even though the weather will be cold, the campus might be open. I doubt it, though, because if they're closing now, and let me say this, in the past they've kind of made mistakes in this area. I don't think they're making a mistake now, but I'm going to have to shut down. So this was a rather brief show. I had a lot more material. I'm probably going to have to save it for Monday at the earliest. So keep studying for your finals and complete those papers. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own unless otherwise stated and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening.